4, the 15th verse. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." And so I am turning now to what Daniel said. And I find that in chapter 12 of Daniel. I haven't chosen this passage without deep inner guidance. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now thy people and written in the book mean those who have accepted immortal life, and those who have accepted immortal life are written in the book. It's like in the old Hebrew days when the plague came by and those who had the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts were not smitten. Your function is to be written in the book. That's why you're studying this. You must be thy people. When they speak of thy people here, they must be speaking about you. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Righteousness is the knowledge that I am the life of God. That is the meaning of wearing the robe of righteousness. That is watching that your garments are kept clean and linen white. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words," shut them up, "seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And then I, Daniel, looked. Behold, there stood another two, one on the side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the powers of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the end, till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the day. Now, you might look at that chapter 12, the entirety of it. I skipped a few verses that are well worth your time. And now we turn back to Matthew 24. For just as Daniel was told to shut the words up, so in a sense did Jesus Christ when his disciples said to him, "When shall the end be?" Well, he said, "I can tell you this. You see all these stones here? There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. But see, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, nation against nation." Does it ring a bell with you? "And kingdom against kingdom." Now, what does that mean? The nation against nation could be the visible, physical nations in this world, right? But kingdom against kingdom is something else. Kingdom against kingdom is the inner self of you, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of spirit and the kingdom of matter. These two kingdoms shall rise against each other, and in you, the life of God realized is necessary. For there shall be famines. We're having that famine right now. We've had famines for a long time. A famine isn't only an absence of food. There's a famine of energy. There's a famine of life. Every lack and limitation is a famine. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you." Now, do you know what that means? Your humanhood shall be delivered up, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You will discover that as you find your spiritual self to be the life of God, there is this uncanny thing that happens. The world will not let you die to humanhood. It wants to hold you in bondage to it. And you must be prepared for that. It is the strangest thing that can happen on the earth. The moment you turn to the true life of being, the world grabs onto you and tries to pull you back. But you must die to humanhood. You must mount your cross. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." There will be a division between those who are in life and those who are in mortality. "Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." Now you have wondered just what is going to happen to you. How does the end come about? We are told that no man can tell you. We are not entitled to an advance preview. But we do know that the glory of the Father, which is with you from the beginning of the world, can never leave you in your divine life. And how that manifests in this world is a subject of much conjecture in many places today. I would like to think of it as what might be called the evacuation. There will be a turning over of consciousness. What happens when you overcome the belief in the form? What happens when you make your transition? How does it manifest in this visible world? When you were told to stand in Daniel's place, the secret place of the Most High, when these abominations come, you are being prepared for a very special event. And I liken it to your garage door. When you push that little genie, it doesn't open your neighbor's garage door. It opens only yours. It sends out a wavelength which only the female in your garage receives. The positive and the negative are united. The transmitter and the receiver work hand in glove. The male and the female become one. The garage door opens. Now, we hear much today about UFOs. We hear much about a comet. We hear about invisible light messengers. We are told they are coming to Earth. Please remember that there is one life, one self. Do not be trapped into materiality. Now, if there is an appearance on earth of individuals from UFOs, as seen in various parts of the country again recently, you will notice they were not seen to be perfect individuals, but rather those who saw them noticed that some didn't have the usual kind of faces, some didn't have noses, some had strange eyes. And the reason is that we as human beings do not have the vision to see what's there. But there is something else you must know. They, as another form of the same one life, they do not have the option to choose whom they would choose. They cannot say, I'll choose Mary and I'll choose John and I'll choose Harry. Any more than your garage genie can open your neighbor's garage door. If a higher level of your own self comes to earth, it is only going to choose its counterpart. If there's going to be an evacuation, it's going to be only an evacuation of those who are standing in the secret place of the Most High. Your garage door will only open for the higher self if you are the counterpart of that higher self, if you are the immortal life, if you are the visible human life. There will be no joining as one. Is the point getting across to you? That you are to be prepared for any eventuality in the face of anything that may occur on this earth. then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Israel had been divided into two nations. Judea was the lower. And if you're in the lower, in the mortality, you better get up into the higher, the immortality. Flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And that's for those of us who want to look back into the past. Those of us who want to ruminate about our other lives. Those of us who, like Lot's wife, are not willing to move on out and keep moving. Stay in the life of God. You never had a mortal life. That is the mirage, the illusion. Do not look back into your mortal lifespans, because God never created a mortal lifespan. You see the point? Do not be trapped into the belief in a past mortality any more than in a present mortality. Neither let him which is in the field return back for his clothes. The only garments you want are the garments of spirit. Do you see that? Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. You must renounce physicality. You cannot have physicality and immortal life. There is no such combination. We are being told not to be caught dead, but alive. Not to be caught asleep, but awake. Now, it should be perfectly clear that we are in a state of deadness when we let our mind stray out into mortal thought. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. In the winter, when you're spiritually barren, nor on the Sabbath day, when you have, for some reason or other, declared that I've had 6 days of prayer, and on the seventh day I'm not interested in prayer. This isn't the healing on the Sabbath. This is use of the Sabbath another way. When you're not praying is the Sabbath. When you're not aware of your immortal self, you're in a false Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Oh, yes, we have a shortage of energy. We also have the handwriting on the wall. The real crisis is not the shortage of energy. The real crisis is the identity crisis. Who are you? Where will you be found? In or out of life? Alive or dead? That's the only crisis there is. Then if any man shall say unto thee, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Why? How can Christ be there, or there, or there? The kingdom of God is within you. Don't look to a man as Christ is saying. Don't look to a human savior. You, your life, is Christ. The life of God that you are is Christ. So if any man say, here is Christ, there is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should even deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. East and west. Why? Omnipresence. The Christ of your being is there and there, here and there. It is all the invisible Christ. It is all you. Now let's go to this big one. You have an everywhere self called Christ. Now, into meditation, take this great truth. Christ is infinite. It isn't enough to know that Christ is there and there and there, but there and there and there, Christ is infinite everywhere, right where you are. Right where you are is infinite Christ. That is the meditation for this month. Infinity is here. Perfect infinity, where I am. 100% of God is right here where I am. Not 99 or 98 or 97 or not a fraction. Gather all the fragments into one basket right here. Right here are the 12 disciples. Right here is the fullness, the wholeness of being. There isn't any degree of God in the universe that isn't right here where you are in its fullness. In other words, absolutely nothing is ever missing. The life of God that you are is the infinite life, and its infinity is infinite right where you are. That is the miracle worker. I am infinite everywhere. In Chicago, I am infinite. In Hawaii, I am infinite. In every planet, in every galaxy, I am infinite. If I am on one street in hell, I am infinite. I am infinite being, infinite everywhere. Nothing is withheld anywhere, neither energy, nor health, nor supply. Nothing is ever withheld anywhere because I am infinite being. You cannot be less because the immortal life of God is infinite being. It is infinite everywhere. God is no less here than there. God is no less 500 years ago than at this moment. All of God is right here and now. That is the miracle of the infinite nature of God. And it is the miracle of the infinite nature of your immortal life here and now. And you must contemplate that. You must take it into consciousness. You must abide with it. You must face every situation with it. For as you do, as you look out upon the world of crises, they are no crisis to the infinite nature of your life. And if they are a crisis, you are the dead one who has denied the immortal life of God as your very being. Be prepared consciously and constantly to be that infinite self. Contemplate it again and again and again until you can say, "Behold, I know I am that infinite self now." Why? Because of what we're seeing here in the book. Because of the world situation. It is only a situation to those who are not the infinite immortal life of God. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The human mind which runs this world is going to discover that it can't run this world. All its faith in itself is going to be shaken. The smugness of science, the conceit of religion, the false piety of man, the institutions of the human mind are going to be shattered. When do you think this will happen? I tell you, you're witnessing it now. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In you, Christ, invincible. Untouched, unblemished, unafraid, unlimited, free. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds. The four winds. The four basic elements of this earth. Air, water, fire, earth. These are your four winds. The complete four kingdoms of man, mineral, vegetable, animal, and human. We are being lifted into the fifth world, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Christ consciousness on earth is necessary, and the desolation cannot occur until you have attained that Christ consciousness. But until you do, there will be a continuing of the limitations and of the cataclysms of this world. If you have eyes to just to look out upon the world today, if you have knowledge that for you there does not exist on this earth more than another quarter of a century, if you can see that God is not that frivolous to put you through the ringer of setbacks and deadlocks and lacks and limitations, without realizing that you are being taught the meaning of obedience. That through suffering you learn obedience. And then through obedience you are made perfect and divinely born into your true heritage as the heir of Christ. All for a reason. A sublime reason to be free, to be perfect as your Father, to live your eternal life forever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's some things we must take into conscious daily practice. You've heard some of them, and I trust you will put them into effect. Here are others. There is no external world. The world is a mirror of your consciousness. That is all it is. And as your consciousness becomes the one consciousness, as you are willing to unite with the one, that external world will reflect the grace of the one consciousness. And this will lift you into a realm that cannot be described by human words, into activities that cannot be previewed by human words in any way. And you must learn to do this. one with the one consciousness, will change your external world into the kingdom of heaven. How it is done, you will discover for yourself. Now here's a very big point, a point so big that I hope you don't mistake its simplicity. There is nothing to improve. Nothing to improve. Do not try to improve the energy crisis. Do not try to improve your health. Do not try to improve your supply. Do not seek anything in this world. Why? You cannot improve divine life. The trap is to seduce you into trying to improve something. And the moment you do that, you have let the mind stray out of divine life into mortal life. And you have pronounced yourself dead. Now that is one of the greatest traps there is. The minute you try to improve something, you're pronouncing yourself dead. Because immortal life cannot be improved. Do not deny your immortal life by trying to improve your mortal life. You don't have one. And if at this moment it's difficult to comprehend or to grasp or in any way to accept, please, that's why I'm mentioning it. Take it into your contemplation this month. I have nothing to improve in my life, because the only life I have is the immortal, perfect life of God. The minute I have another, I'm dead. Nothing to improve. That is probably one of the greatest secrets of the infinite way. As Joel taught us many, many times, do not try to use the power of God over another power. There isn't any. Don't try to use spirit to get rid of evil. There isn't any. Oh, there are many teachings that tell you how to use one power over another. But that is not the infinite way. The infinite way says there is only one, infinite life. Nothing to use power over. Nothing to improve. And believe me, I know there's hardly anything more difficult than the temptation to try to improve someone or something or yourself. You might look at the book Practicing the Presence. There's a chapter in there called Demonstrate God. Read it. And you'll discover that this is the idea of no power over another power. Don't demonstrate things. Don't demonstrate more energy. Demonstrate God. And if there's anything you might add to that title, it would be, let God demonstrate God. Seek ye first God, and then God will demonstrate the perfection of the kingdom of God. So the secret of grace, then, is going to God within yourself, uniting with the one infinite consciousness. And then, having found it, to not let the mind stray out into a separate consciousness of its own. Now again, just so you don't make the mistake of thinking you do this with words, you must die to all personal self. And so I'm going to ask you for this month to take a 48-hour period. And to be willing to suffer through it for 48 hours. To set your thoughts on God in that 48-hour period. As stiff as a ramrod, hold your thoughts on God and do not let the mind wander out into the world of matter, the world of things, the world of persons, the world of effects. You sit in the quiet of your room, you establish the consciousness that God is present. Let's do it. God is present. Now in this, you cannot think of you. You cannot think of a me. You must take all of your thoughts away from me. All your thoughts are of God, the universe of God, the life of God. the greatness of God, the purity of God. God is too pure to behold iniquity. God is intelligence, wisdom, love, truth, harmony. God is all this. God is the expression of God. God is grace. God is ever flowing. God is maintaining. Why, in fact, is there anything beside God? Isn't the teaching of truth that God is all there is? God is all there is. And if I take my mind away from God, where do I put it? If all there is God. So I keep it on God. I never take it away. My mind stays on God. I contemplate the beauty of God, the unending joy of being in the presence of God as the life of God. And I refuse to let this deceiving mind turn to any other awareness. I am abiding in God. I am accepting that here now is God. I am in the presence of God. What else is present? Nothing. Only God. The presence of God surrounds you. The presence of God is you. The presence of God is maintaining itself. Do not let your mind stray to a physical self. Do not let your mind stray to mortal thought. Do not let your mind go out into a far country. Hold your thought completely in God. And now go a step further. Refuse to let the human mind think at all. And this is what I mean by the suffering. However difficult it is, do not let the human mind think. Don't mind if it feels like you have to come up for air. Take it on the chin, but suffer through it. I will not think with this human mind because I have none. I have no human mind to think. It cannot think I am sick. It cannot think I lack. It cannot think about the time of day or the hour. I have no human mind. I am immortal life. The only mind here is God's mind. There is no other. I will not let a human mind think. Now, this is going to hurt you. And you're going to want to give it up and get out of it. But don't do it. It's only the human mind that wants to get out of it. Continue this until you have reached mastery over that human mind, until it gives up, until something in you is living and the human mind says, I give up, I yield. I'm not going to try to run anything. When that human mind does that, it will be still. And you will know it. And you will feel a great glow inside. You'll say, well, that human mind is still. It isn't doing anything. I've overcome it. Well, it never was there in the first place, you see. It's only the world mind acting up, taking command, penetrating all your thoughts. It's the glass darkly. It's the image maker, the deceiver, the liar. Now it's silent, we hope. And if it isn't, you go back to that meditation again and again. Within a 48-hour period, make up your mind that your mind is not going to be the king on the throne. You will find that you have made contact with another level. A level that sits back and is one with the infinite consciousness of God. Now, when you suffer through this, no matter how it hurts, and do it quite a number of times within 48 hours, you will discover that you have penetrated the veil of atoms. You have developed a higher capacity. You have united with the infinite consciousness. And you will see that the only place dominion exists is outside of this human mind. Man is trying to get dominion over energy. He cannot. There is no human dominion except over a mirage. All dominion is in God, in the one divine, undivided consciousness, without a straying mind. And as you develop this capacity, confidence will grow. Truth will grow. The realization of the presence of God will grow. You will discover you can stand in the face of most anything. Don't give up on yourself. And don't mind however it hurts, because you will reap a handsome reward. Only spiritual perfection is present. That is the theme of another meditation. The kingdom of God is always here as spiritual perfection. When you are out of mind, you will find that spiritual perfection expresses in the visible world as every need fulfilled. It won't matter what's rationed in this world, whatever you need will appear for your use. I come quickly. I make all things new. I, the unlimited self. No one is rationing God. No one is rationing spirit. There is no power over spirit. Nothing to improve. No external world. Only spiritual perfection is present. Meditate until the mind is overcome. And finally, one reminder. God never created a mortal being. And therefore, there are no mortal beings. When you go forth and you see mortal beings, you are in mind. You are in the mind that has strayed from the knowledge of the one divine self. God sees no mortal beings. That's how you know you're in mind. The minute you accept the plumber, the telephone repairman and the butcher as mortal beings, you have fallen out of grace. You are as dead as they. Now, you must take into consciousness that there are no mortal beings quite a number of times. And when you do, to your surprise, you'll find that whoever walks into the room where you are, or wherever you walk into a room, you will know that there are no mortal beings there. You will see them in a different light. You will accept them in a different light. You will respond to them in a different light. And strangely and beautifully, they will respond to you in a different light, not as mortal beings. They will feel the immortality of their own being and of you, and you will know it. There are no mortal beings. That includes husband and wife, Father and Son. God is no respecter of persons. God created nothing that dies. There has never been a death in the creation of God. You have been looking at immortality for all of your human years, and you have been calling it mortal. Reverse that, turn ye. There are no mortal beings. Whoever sees one is as dead himself as the one he sees. Yes, it's difficult. But when you see the abomination and desolation described in Daniel, standing in the secret place, are we going to wait till then? We're going to stand in that secret place now. There are no mortal beings, is the secret place. There is only divine being. You must love divine being as thyself. You must honor divine being. You must see God in everyone and everything. Now this is our preparation. For the great moment spoken of in Scripture, when the world around us goes up in flame, and we don't know what form that's going to take, and we don't pretend to know, but we do know that we're told to live in the self of being, so that no matter what does happen, we are that one which stands in immortal life. There are only a limited number of people in the world who are studying the infinite way, and only a very small number of that group are accepting the infinity of their own being here and now as that immortal life. And this group is fulfilling the Scripture. You are included, but it remains for you to include yourself. You have said you are indivisible. You are really saying you are immortal, for the immortal life is the only indivisible life there is. We rest now in that one immortal life, and we trust it. We trust it always to be itself, no matter what appearances may face us. Then we have really put our mortal life upon the cross. I join hands with you and hearts with you, that this for you will be a glorious holiday season. And that together, as the one life, we shall make this coming Christmas a truly immortal occasion. Before the 25th, we'll be in touch again to share the joy of knowing one divine life together. Much love. Thank you so very much.